The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, even by heaven or for its throne, or God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Again, anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, and please be seated. During Jesus' entire public ministry, he was always in conflict with the religious leaders of his time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the people that were the lawyers and so forth. He was constantly in conflict with them because they saw him as a rebel. They saw him as someone who did not take seriously the traditions of the law, nor the habits of culture. And they considered him one who would perverse the young people and not teach them the right way. So he was a leader that was bad, and they didn't want anything to do with him. Similarly, what Jesus did is he looked at these people as legalists, and he saw them as people who were living for the letter of the law and had somehow missed the very spirit of the law. And so today's reading is a continuation of this conflict which Jesus is having with the religious people, but it helps us to understand at least what Jesus' perspective is. Now, I can begin by saying, how many of you have ever broken the law? And I hope none of you raise your hand. I couldn't do this in prison because everybody would raise their hand, right? So I didn't even bother asking. But I would say that the biggest thing that we have perhaps committed in our life is maybe a traffic violation, right? And because of that, maybe the world is going to be a little bit better. But the idea of living by the law and keeping the law is a very different thing that Jesus is trying to help us to understand today. For instance, he talks about murder. And the Jewish people then, you know, were thinking, I never murdered anybody, right? So I'm keeping the law. But what we know is that keeping the law is one thing, but the intention of the law is very different. Because when you look underneath of that law, how many ways can you kill a person? You can kill a person without a knife, or you can kill a person without a gun. You can kill a person without any particular kind of weapon, but you can kill them with your look. You can kill them with your words. You can kill them with your neglect. You can kill them with your judgment. You can kill them with your racism and sexism. Whatever it is that you want to do, you can kill people quite easily. And so Jesus is trying to get us to realize that what you do on the outside is one thing, but why you do that is a more important thing. He also talks about sex, and he talks about adultery. Now, the Pharisees during that time were thinking, well, I have the same wife. I'm not running around. I'm not doing any kind of thing that would be illegal or improper. But let me tell you one thing. This whole culture of the Jewish people at that time were so denigrating to women, were so dismissive of women that they had no rights. In fact, we already spoke about one particular school of thought that would say you can divorce your wife if she burnt your toast, or if she didn't make your dinner, or she didn't do something for you, you can divorce her because she was so dependent on you. She was so in need of you, and the man had the absolute call of what happened with the woman. And once he would divorce her, she would really be homeless, and she would be at the mercy of culture and whoever was out there. And so what Jesus is saying is that even though this particular time, these men were not treating their wives in an improper way, they were missing the point of a relationship. They were missing the whole point of what it is to be in a marriage, what it means to be in love, what it means to be in sharing with another person. And so Jesus again goes a little deeper. He's trying to get us to think that the law says one thing, but the spirit of the law means another. And so in terms of relationship, he is talking about the equal and the very important relationship that we have with our significant other. We are currently studying a book, and it's called Jesus According to a Woman. And we have picked out many cases in this particular book where when you see it from a woman's perspective, you see that Jesus really was standing up for women. He was defending them. He was trying to bring them in a place where people saw them as human beings, not just as chattel, not just as property, not just as anything that you can be owned. And so Jesus stands up for these women. And again, what he's telling us at this particular reading, that he says that in a marriage, it's more than just not being involved with another woman. They're people who have relationships of real quality intimacy and never touch each other. But the idea of dismissing a woman, the idea of dismissing what she is and making her an object, which is perhaps the greatest difficulty that we have to deal with today, women have been made objects. Either they're the Puritans or they're the sex idols. And so what we've done in over the history is that we put a woman in a position that she cannot be real. She can't be herself because she's set up to lose either way, or she's set up to be used either way. And so Jesus is coming against them. He says, if you're going to divorce, even though the law says you can have a divorce by writing a divorce proclamation, the reason you should divorce is only if there is unfaithfulness. But nothing else, not because you don't like her, not because you got fed up with her, not because you want somebody else. And then finally, the last thing that Jesus talks about today in his understanding of getting under the law, it's about vows. People used to take vows all the time. In the Jewish tradition, there were compulsory vows that you would take. You know, you'd have to go to the temple 3 times a year for the special holidays. You had to do the Passover. You had to do all kinds of stuff. But there were other vows that you can take. Like today, I'm not going to have any wine. You would do this because you wanted to show yourself, you know, devoted to God. But then you figure to yourself, man, it's 4 o'clock. I'm getting kind of thirsty. I really would love that kind of wine. And so you can get out of the vow. You know, you can go to someone who's older than you, like your dad, and say, Dad, disavow my vow. Or you can go to a rabbi, and the rabbi says, okay, I disavow your vow. And so you go right back. And so there's a sense of playfulness in their seriousness, and one cannot really depend on that individual. And so they were able to get away with all kinds of stuff. So their vows meant nothing because it was just words. It was just words that were being thrown around and people said to make themselves look good. Now, okay, so all of these examples help me to understand how is it that we live our lives? We live our lives based on either the laws of our land and the laws of our relationship and the laws of our church, but do we really understand them? Do we live with the laws, or do we live because we understand the law? Do we get the spirit of the law? Do we understand the meaning and the depth that it's offering it to us? But many people don't understand that, and that's why religion can be a very superficial experience. That's why people, when they go to church, they get fed up because they see the superficiality of custom, and they do the routines and the rituals, and they don't feel the depth. They don't feel the grip of the spirit that is behind these rituals. They don't understand why when we eat communion, it's something that's supposed to be very, very moving and touching, because we're now participating in becoming the body of Christ, not only consuming it. When we pray, when we sing songs, it's because we feel a different transformation in our hearts and in our lives. But a lot of people stay on the surface. And so it becomes boring. It becomes routine. Most of our lives are boring. Most of our lives are routine because we get up and do the same thing every day, right? We put our clothes, we eat, we have our coffee, we go to work, yeah, but where is the depth? And I think that's what Jesus is trying to get us to think. Where is the depth of your life? Where do you find the mystical? Where do you find the tremendum? Where do you find the luminous? Where do you find the movement of God, the Spirit, His presence? Where do you find the passion to be able to experience the depth and richness of our lives? And most of the times we're taught to follow rules, right? We inherit rules when we're young, and we follow the rules that were given by our parents, by our church, by our school. And if we want to be good boys and girls, we follow the rules. Amen. That's why Jesus was a rebel, because he was saying life is more than just the rules. You're just dressing your life like you dress a window. You dress your house like you move furniture. But you don't understand the dynamics, the feng shui of what's going on. You don't see the movement of spirit. You don't see the movement of truth in your own life because you've blocked it off by things you think you have to impose on life. And so Jesus is trying and criticizing the way the people were living in their life, because on the surface they look good. On the surface they look like they were just righteous as heck, you know. They were doing the right things, but their hearts were somewhere else, he says. Their minds were somewhere else. And we do that sometimes when we're with each other. We're having a dinner and you're sitting before your wife or your kid and they're talking and you're looking at it, but you're somewhere else, right? You're thinking about what you got to do at work, the next TV program that's going to come up, you know, did I win the lotto? Whatever it is, you're thinking about something else. When are you fully present to the moment? When are you saturated by the Holy that is claiming you now? We are people of time and space. It's this time that we are always forgetting and missing, the moment itself that is so full and rich of meaning. Someone said yesterday, and relationships. Someone said that the most important thing for him yesterday, we had our meeting, a vestry meeting, was relationships. Outside of relationship, what do we really have? We travel, we eat, we sleep. But what do we have if we're not involved in a relationship with someone else that really calls us out of ourselves, someone that gives us more than what we brought, someone that is able to build with us a sense of meaning and purpose in our life? It is through the other that we experience the very presence of God. It is through the other that we touch the hem of the Holy. It is through the other that we feel ourselves alive all over again. But if we spend our time just trying to be good boys and girls, you know, you'll be good boys and girls, but you'll miss life because you've been caught up with the rituals of life. And that's Jesus' challenge to those people at that day. He said, look, you're missing the point of God. You're missing the point of each other because you're so caught up in these rules. Why not see why the rules were established in the first place? And today, what do we do today? Today we are so caught up in fads. We're so caught up in data. We're so caught up in all kinds of business ideas or political ideas or ethical ideas, economic ideas, that we don't think about relationship anymore. We don't think about what is real, what is meaningful, what is touching to you, what is important for you. Why do you even get up in the morning? What's the point? So Jesus is challenging them as he's challenging us to think a little deeper, to think a little more adept of what it is that we do as human beings. And you know what? What's really surprising to me and also quite depressing is that we fight each other on that level of superficiality. We kill each other for ideas. We have wars because we want property. We have wars because we want more merchandise. We want more consummation. We want to be able to use more things. We want stuff. And we kill each other for it. And that stuff is nothing. We're destroying the earth because we want to take everything from the earth. But the earth one day will get rid of us. We're not in relationship with the earth. We're not in relationship with each other. We're not in relationship with ourselves. Because we're following someone's rules. You know, as much as I like certain books that I read, I don't like it. Like the 10 Steps to Love. You know, you have 10 steps, and if you follow the 10 steps, you'll have love. Or the 10 steps to get out of depression. Or the 10 steps to have a happy marriage. You know, follow these rules and you'll have it. I don't think that works, really. I think it gives you an idea, a framework in which you can at least think about the issue that you're wrestling with. But it doesn't convey the passion. It doesn't convey the ethos. It doesn't, the pathos. It doesn't give you a willingness to open yourself to that. It's hard to communicate that kind of excitement to people because we're afraid. Most of us are afraid. We want to do the right thing. We want to be on the right side of history. But you know, when it comes to love, when it comes to truth, when it comes to God, it's not about history. It's not about right or wrong. It's about truth. It's the truth itself about the meaning of how you live your life with each other, how you live your relationship with God. And so this is a challenge Jesus brings to the people of many years ago, but it's still relevant today. That you, if you go home and think about the question, if I live on the surface of life, okay. But there's something missing, the undertone, the rhythm, the heartbeat. And that's where he wants to get us. He wants to bring us to that level so that we can fully be alive, so that we can fully embrace the mystery and the wonder of what it is to be alive. So you have an assignment for this week, and the assignment for this week is when you want to do stuff, ask yourself, am I doing it because I really want to do it, because I really need to do it? Or what is it that offers me something? When you pray, is it because it's time to pray? Or is it because I want to pray? Do I read scripture because it's something that gives me something? Or is it something that I feel it's a habit I need to do? Try to measure the actions of your life to see if there's a real intent behind it. Or is it just because you feel it's something you need to do? And when you say you love your wife or your kid, or again, do you really say it because you mean it? Or do you say it because you have to? And you don't have to even say it. You can show it, you know, and there's other ways of doing it. We just had Valentine's, and I got a kick out of it. I went to get flowers, and you know, all the guys are on the line to get flowers, right? And we don't see any women getting flowers, and all the guys are getting flowers, right? And so it's a wonderful day, but I always get the feeling like, you know, everybody comes out because they've got to get the flowers. What about doing something different? Why do you come to church, and why do you love God? Why do you give yourself to this tradition? It has to be because it gives you something deeper, not just something to do or belong to. And if you get that, I think you get the message of what Jesus is telling us today. Amen.